Today on Brave, a message from Jeff Swarzentraub.
See, we make the assumption sometimes, we're praying, I prayed. You don't realize that if you're not plugged into prayer on a continual basis, you can't live the Christian life. Because the Christian life is not what you're going to do for God. The Christian life is what God wants to do in and through you. So the only way Christ can work in and through you is if he has access to work in and through you, and that comes through prayer.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. It's funny, even the most expensive electrical appliance is completely incapable of serving its purpose if it's not plugged into an outlet. Without a power source, all that technology and potential is just an empty machine. In the same way, Christians are ultimately powerless without prayer. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff illustrates this important point and explains why our connection to God through prayer is so vital to fulfilling our purpose here on earth. We're continuing a study called Discipleship. And let me remind you that this timely series can be found at bravemedia.online. All right now, let's join Pastor Jeff for today's message, Independence to Dependence.
Well, we've been in this Disciple Shift series, and we've been talking about different foundational choices that we need to make or different ways that we need to move in a direction. And to refresh your memory a little bit, we talked about first choosing to surrender to Christ's authority. We took a look at Matthew 16, 24 and following. It says, if anyone would come after me, if anyone would be my disciple, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. We talked about what a surrendered life to Jesus Christ look like. And then the second week, we said, choose to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And we talked about what a powerful a privilege and weapon it is to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And then last week, we talked about choosing to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and how as believers, we have a responsibility and a privilege to share the gospel with other people. And just remind me who was listening last week, gospel simply means what really loud? It means good news. That's all it is. And we're sharing good news with people. But I don't know about you. Sometimes when I hear messages and I hear people tell me, just do this, it's easy, and God says to do it, let's do it, that even in my desire to be a surrendered, worshiping evangelist, that I find sometimes I'm distracted with all sorts of other things, and it's just not working. Life happens. There's different things going on, and how am I going to make this work? And today we're going to talk about foundational choice number four, or a shift that we need to make. And when we shift, we're not talking about religious practices that you need to do. We're talking about relational practices you need to engage in. And this choice that we have today is to choose to seek the Lord in prayer. Choose to seek the Lord in prayer. Now, many of us have been told to pray. If you've come to church, you've seen prayer. Prayer. Yeah, I pray. Some of you pray before meals. Some of you pray before bed. But how important is prayer? If you study the life of Jesus Christ, you will see prayer was foundational in everything that he did. I mean, Mark 1:35 records that very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and went to solitary places where there he prayed. It was his practice to get up early and to go somewhere by himself to seek his Father. I mean, prayer modeled everything Jesus did. After he fed the 5,000 and before he walked on the water, he went up on a mountain all night to pray. Before he picked his apostles and selected the 12 out of all of his disciples, he spent the whole night in prayer. Now, think about this for a minute. You ever thought about this? Jesus Christ had a direct access to his dad. They heard each other. He only did what he saw his Father doing. How long would it take to get 12 names? I mean, not very long if you're the God-man of the universe. So why did he pray all night? Because I believe that when the Father said, out of the disciples, pick those to be the apostles, he's like, are you kidding me? I mean, Judas Iscariot, he's up all night praying for those guys. I mean, he modeled prayer. On the night that he was betrayed, we read his prayer in John 17 where he prayed for his disciples and future disciples. He's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, not wanting his Father's will, but he said, not my will, but yours be done. And if that's what you want, I'll do what you want, Dad. And even on the cross, what's he doing? Well, he's praying. He's praying to his Father to forgive those, for they don't know what they do. He's praying to his Father to commit his spirit into his life was consumed with prayer. So it's no wonder that the only place in the scripture we have recorded where the disciples want to be taught something, it's, Lord, teach us to pray. I mean, Jesus did all sorts of incredible things. I would have asked, hey, how do you heal the blind, and how do you raise the dead, and how do you heal leprosy, and how do you, Lord, teach us to pray. We realize that when you pray, the world changes. Lord, teach us to pray. Now, prayer is so important because it's like this. Most of us realize the power of prayer and that it's important that we do it, but we really don't practice it, and then we don't understand why our life doesn't work the way we read about in the scriptures. It's kind of like this. If you've ever rearranged a room before, or you've ever moved into a new house, and one of your appliances isn't working right, maybe it's your refrigerator, your microwave, your TV, your radio, something, it's not working right, and you're trying to work on it, and somebody comes over to help you, and they're doing all these things, and then somebody will ask this question. You ever been in this situation? Well, is it plugged in? Well, of course, it wasn't plugged in. See, we make the assumption sometimes, yeah, we're praying, I prayed. You don't realize that if you're not plugged into prayer on a continual basis, you can't live the Christian life. Because the Christian life is not what you're going to do for God. The Christian life is what God wants to do in and through you. So the only way Christ can work in and through you is if he has access to work in and through you, and that comes through prayer. Now in Luke chapter 11, Jesus records his prayer for his disciples. We're going to use Matthew chapter 6 this morning, verses 9 through 15. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 15. We call this the Lord's Prayer because the Lord was teaching his disciples to pray. It could also be called the disciples' prayer because it's how we should pray when we approach God. And what I'd like to do this morning is walk through this. Now keep in mind, when I was at Dallas Seminary, I was told, I remember hearing Chuck Swindoll teach us that, hey, one day you're going to realize you have far more to say than you're ever going to be able to squeeze into a sermon. I remember thinking, there's no way that's ever going to happen for me. This is 24 sermons in one morning. This will not be an exhaustive study on prayer, but we're going to hit some high points, and I want to be authentic with you about my growth in prayer and how I think it is the most important spiritual discipline of all the others and how everything falls into place if you learn how to pray. Now, Jesus in this section is just comparing and contrasting relational prayer of praying relationally versus praying religiously. Because some people like to stand in the streets and act all fluent in their language and pray out loud so everybody knows that they're praying good. And some people like to give, like, look at how much I'm giving. And some people like to fast, like, look at me, I'm fasting. And act all spiritual. And Jesus is like, don't be like that. Make sure your prayer is engaged in the right thing. So here's what he says in verse 9. Pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, as we walk through this prayer this morning, I'm going to talk about prayer giving you access to five different things that you need to be aware of. And the first is this. When we pray, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, we are seeing that prayer involves access to a personal and reverent relationship with God. Our Father who art in heaven. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:5 that there is one God and there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Jesus Christ. Okay, if you want to talk to God, it goes through Jesus Christ every time. There is no other access point to God but through Jesus Christ. Amen. You can't pray through saints. You can't pray through Mary. You can't pray through dead relatives of yours who knew Jesus. They're not listening to you. You pray through Jesus Christ, who is the only mediator between God and man. There is no other way to pray. And Jesus says we can pray, our Father who art in heaven. It means we all, through Jesus Christ, can have access to God, our Father. Now, Father is a relational term. There's a relationship. The Aramaic word that gets translated in the Greek is Abba. Sometimes you'll hear people talk and they're like, Abba Father, Abba Father. And like, what the heck are they talking about? Abba really means dad or daddy. And it's how little kids would refer to their dad. They would call him Abba. But it wasn't just little kids. It would be grown adults that would still refer to their dad as Abba. When I go back to meet my dad to this day, I don't call him Dennis, even though that's his name. I don't call him Dr. Schwarzentraub, even though that's his title. I call him Dad. There's a relationship that we have. When you approach God, you're approaching him in a relationship. You can talk to him like you would talk to your own father. Now, for some of you, that's a bad situation, but let me tell you about our Father. He is a loving, good Father that is begging us to come and talk to him. He loves it when we talk to him. Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. Come talk to me. I'm your daddy. I'm your dad. Have a relationship with me. But our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed or holy be your name. Not only is he our Father, but guess what he is? He's unlike my father and he's unlike me as a father. He's completely holy. He stands outside of space and time. It means not only is he my dad relationally, but he's a fierce, terrifying God that I should reverence. He's both. I mean, it's this, he's God. I mean, there's no words to put on it. Like, how can he be this tender, loving father and this fierce, almighty God, all this? Because he's God. Which is why sometimes when we pray, when we come to God, we should pray to him as dad. And when we pray to him as dad, we're praying dependently like a little kid. You can picture like a young kid at the carnival is putting their hands up, dad, dad, hold me, hold me. Sometimes we should be praying dependently like that and asking God and showing him our humility and our dependence on him. And other times we should be referring to God reverently, like you're my God. So instead of raising my hands, maybe I'm down on my face, reminding myself that God is holy and he's worthy of being sought. Now, chances are if you've been in church for a while, you've been taught to pray one way or the other. And some people that were taught to pray reverently pray with thee and thou and art and all these kind of things. And that's okay to pray that way if you're praying to be reverent. But at the same time, maybe you need to learn how to pray like a little kid. And maybe some of us that have learned how to pray like little kids take God a little too cavalier at times, and maybe we need to grow in our reverence for the Lord as well. I mean, both are equally true. Both are equally true. Reverent prayers are the ones that will tell you, you gotta wear a suit and tie to church every single Sunday or God's gonna be upset with you. He's holy, bring your best. Relational daddy people are like, hey, you can come in flip-flops and a hat and sunglasses. Come on, man, he's your dad. Both are true. Both are true. It's like this. If I got invited to the White House, into the Oval Office, I wouldn't go in flip-flops and a swimsuit with no shirt. Okay, I just wouldn't go because of the respect for the office of president. I wear a suit. That's what you wear if you go there. But if I were the president's son, it wouldn't really matter what I wore because I could go in flip-flops and a swimsuit because I'm going in to see my dad. Both are equally true. There's a tension there. We get caught up in how to pray sometimes because, well, which way do I approach and how do I pray and what's my language? Talk to him like your dad. Talk to him like a holy God. And use your words. Just use your words. When you pray, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It means we're trying to get to know who God is. We're trying to get to know him. And Jesus tells a story in the Bible in Luke chapter 18 of a religious leader, a Pharisee, and a tax collector. And I'm abbreviating the story, but basically the tax collector stands there and says, God, I thank you that I'm not like others. I thank you. I tithe 10% of everything I have. I'm awesome. I'm good. I'm holy. I thank you. I'm not like this tax collector, this evil, wicked person over there. And then the tax collector stood at a distance and he just beat his chest and he said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, that one went home justified. See, humility is standing before God, either saying, God, I'm dependent on you or I'm reverencing you because I need you. Do you ever notice that God has a way of engineering circumstances in our lives to let us know that we're not in control? That's a great place for an amen. You ever think something was gonna go, it's gonna go right, I can't wait for this, I know this is gonna happen as soon as I get married, as soon as we have a kid, as soon as we adopt, as soon as we get in this new job, as soon as we get in our new house, it's just gonna be, it wasn't supposed to be like this. Why? Because God's beckoning you to pray. That's what it is. Our Father who art in heaven. Now think something about your Father. Your Father who is in heaven is completely sovereign. He controls the universe and he's not worried about any of your circumstances. Your Father even knows what you need before you ask him, so then why pray? We're gonna talk about that. Because the Bible makes clear exactly the same thing in James chapter 4:2, you have not because you ask not. See, prayer changes things. Listen, 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 especially you Calvinist sovereign people, prayer changes things. God is totally sovereign. There's nothing that's gonna happen outside of God's will. God is totally sovereign. God set all these things. But when we pray, God moves. You have not because you ask not means if you would have asked, I would have done something for you, but you didn't ask, so I didn't. Which means in God's sovereign plan, God has ordained prayer as a mechanism for the believer to move and change what's going on in the world. Do you hear what I'm saying? It means you have the privilege of changing human history through prayer. It's the most important spiritual discipline, which is why I will tell you this. It is the most opposed spiritual discipline. If you don't believe me, do this. Please do this. Set a time sometime after church, either today or tomorrow. I mean, set it right now. Write it down on a piece of paper, put it in your phone, whatever. Just say at 5 p.m. tonight or at 7 p.m. tonight or at 5 tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. You put that time down and say, God, this is your 10 minutes. It's all yours. Nothing will get in the way. I promise you it will be opposed. Because the enemy knows that the one thing he doesn't want you to do is seek the Lord, because if you do, different things happen. See, this is what the prayer is talking about. It says, our Father who art in heaven, holy be your name. Then what's he say in verse 10? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is where I want to spend a majority of our time. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, prayer involves access to a power that manifests Christ's agenda. Prayer involves access to a power that manifests Christ's agenda. Like, access means I'm plugged into God. Access means that I'm experiencing him. When you're plugged into God, there is a power that gets expressed unlike any other. Like, I've heard people say something like this. When they're experiencing God, they'll say, man, God is on the move right now. God is on the move. He's on the move. When has he not been? He's always on the move. It's kind of like this. In my vehicle, I have XM radio. When you have XM radio, up in the heavenlies, so to speak, on the satellite, there's all sorts of programming going on all the time. But in order to tune in and get it, your car has to be on and you have to be receiving it. Likewise, there are things going on in the invisible spiritual realm all the time that if you're plugged into, will manifest itself visibly and tangibly in this world. And if you're not, they're still going on, but you're just not experiencing them. Prayer is a spiritual exercise. It's work. It's hard. It's a labor, right? But it's powerful. God moves in and through you when you pray. Now think about this. We took a look at this a couple weeks ago. In Genesis 1:27, it says that God created man and woman in his image. In the image of God, he created them male and female. When God created you, he created you unlike anything else. There is no other animal, there's no tree, there's no sun, there's no star. Nothing was created in the image of God except you were. You're an image bearer of him. When God put man and woman on the earth, Genesis 1:28 tells them to be fruitful and multiply and to subdue the earth and rule over it. In other words, here was God's plan. I'm gonna allow man, who is created in my image, men and women, to be my image bearers on the planet. They will get my will done on the earth in the way that I want it done, but I'm gonna choose to work through human agents to get it done. That's God's plan. It's never changed. Now, the devil's lied to us and we turned over our leadership that we had from God to sin, but Christ came into the world and redeemed all that. So now what is true of Christ as a believer is true in me. Now, follow me on this. Because when you read in the New Testament of Christ in you, the hope of glory, it means that everything that was true about Jesus, Jesus is now residing in you. And so God wants to get done through you everything he would get done through Jesus if he were the one living in and through your life. So check this out. When I read my Bible, I see in Ephesians 2 verses 5 and 6, for it is by grace that I've been saved through faith and that I have been seated in the heavenly realms in Christ. Positionally, I'm already a victor. I still live on planet Earth, but I'm living as a victor. In Romans 8, I see that I'm more than a conqueror. I see that if God is for me, who can be against me? And in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, if you just write that verse down, in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, it says this, that grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Why? Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. When you became a believer, God has granted you divine power for everything you will ever need for your life and for living godly. Picture this, that by grace, you've been saved, and picture a heavenly storage container of everything that you will ever need to accomplish everything God ever wants to do in your life, and you have complete access to it. Now, you might say, why didn't God just put it in front of me and let me see it all? Because if you could see it all, it wouldn't be by faith, and you wouldn't pray and ask for it, and you would squander it on yourself. See, everything in prayer is praying in an unseen world that's more real than the world that we live in here. It's unseen, but it's real. It's why we're so enamored with like Marvel and Batman and all these kind of things, because when we see people that have otherworldly powers that manifest themselves in our present world, we're like, wow, superhero. Like, you'll remember this guy, his name was Clark Kent, kind of a quirky newspaper reporter with his little girlfriend, Lois Lane. And he was average and normal until what? He went into a phone booth. And he went into the phone booth as Clark Kent, and he came out as what? Tell me. He came out as Superman. He went in as quirky Clark, and he came out, and now what is he? He's able to outrun a speeding bullet. He's more powerful than a locomotive, and he can leap tall buildings in a single bound. He ain't a bird. He ain't a plane. He's Superman, right? See, here's what the devil knows, that you have access to God through Jesus Christ to have supernatural power departed into your life if you will take the access of it. You say, where in the world are you getting that? I'm getting it from the Bible, so let's look at it. Ephesians chapter 3, probably the favorite verse of everybody in Ephesians chapter 3. See if this is your favorite verse in Ephesians, come on. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the what? The power that works where? Within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. I've heard that verse quoted by everybody all the time. Praise God. He's got more power than anything, and he can do it all through us. Praise God. He can do it all. More than we can ask or think. Well, where are we going to get this power? Well, if you go back up to verse 14, you'll see. Paul says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with the power through his Spirit in the inner man. I'm Paul, and I'm praying for you to experience God's ultimate divine power in everything that you have, so you will live out with everything that you need to accomplish everything that God wants you to do.
You're listening to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraub. Today's message is titled Independence to Dependence. We're in a five-part study focusing on the characteristics of a disciple of Christ called discipleship. And if you'd like to revisit any of the messages in this series or share them with a friend, you can do that at our website, bravemedia.online. And from all of us here at Brave, thank you for being part of our listening community. We're passionate about bringing clear biblical truth to as many people as we can every day across the nation. And today, we'd like to invite you to help us continue saving, maturing, and multiplying more Brave disciples of Jesus Christ by supporting our ministry with a financial gift of any amount. You can make a one-time gift today by heading to our website, bravemedia.online, and clicking the Donate tab. Or call us at 360-552-7283. That's 360-552-7283. You can also send a check in the mail. Write to us at Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. We'd like to invite you to join us for weekend worship services here at Brave Church. Attend in person at any of our three campuses in Englewood, Westminster, and Colorado Springs, or join us right from home through our live stream. For details, head to bravemedia.online, scroll to the bottom of our homepage, and click the button labeled Brave Church. If you have any questions or comments for Pastor Jeff, message us today by clicking the tab that says Email Us. And don't forget to connect with us on social media. We're on Facebook and Instagram, and you can find us by searching for Brave Church Denver. Be sure to subscribe or follow our pages to stay in the loop on all things Brave. I'm your host, Bill Carl. That's all of our time for today. Join us tomorrow when Pastor Jeff shows us the importance of going from spiritual independence to dependence. We're realizing that through prayer, we're able to bring God's heavenly power to our daily battles. Next time on Brave with Jeff Swarzentraw. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.